Howdy, hello. So greetings folks, this is Saranya Narayanamurthy and welcome to the Mind Business. So after a long time, we are here with a consistent dose of episodes right from today. So from now on, every week you're going to have at least one or two episodes of the Mind Business podcast, wherein I take you through so many super amazing theories of life that every time you listen to one episode of the Mind Business, your life is going to get at least 1% starting that day. So without any further ado, let's get started. So today in our episode, we are going to talk about theory of relativity. By the end of this, there is just one intention for me: to make your life more subjective and make you realize that everything you have in life is all yours and only yours. Now, let's go back to the episode. I have always thought, right, I am not an adult. You know, being in your early 20s or actually growing up from there, it is kind of tough to realize that you are now an adult and you need to focus on some serious responsibilities. Whereas in my family, I'm the elder one and I have a sister, the one that's 7 years younger than me. She was always small, like she's 18 right now and she is in her college, but right now when I see her as just a kid. And only recently that I realized, when she sees from her side, right from when I was in the primary school, she saw me as a big sister, you know, big sister, right? And that is when I realized, even right now, my parents treat me as a kid, and sometimes, clearly I get annoyed. Many times, as much as I'm happy that they treat me as a kid and not an adult, there are a few instances when I actually get annoyed that I'm never given the importance as an adult and I'm still treated as a kid. And that is when I realized. When me and my sister had a very casual, in fact, a bullying conversation, when I told her, "You're just little," and she told me, "You're big." Oh my god, that's when I realized, for her, I'm always big and for me, she is always small. And that is why for my parents, we are just kids. You know, it's a theory of relativity. It's from the perspective, from my perspective that she is little and from her perspective that I'm bigger. Now let's understand this objectively, okay? When we have a lot of money, let's see on the salary day. If you get a 3 to 4 lakh salary, 1 lakh it's just a day spent. I mean, irrespective of any salary that you get, the proportion, the highest proportion, is just a day spent. But when you do not have money, by the last days of the month, rupees 1500 or rupees 150 is a steal deal. We are super happy that we have cash, right? Why do you think the disparity is? Is it that the money suddenly loses its value? Well, not really. But to you, the pain of not having the money, or maybe the joy of, okay, I have money now, is actually a big deal. Now we ask, why can't I do something now? Something that I did earlier, something earlier that I used to love, right now, it doesn't feel much. Maybe it's the way you started your new business, or even for me, earlier, let's say 3 years back, it was my dream to have a blog, to have a podcast. Now, okay, I have a blog, no big deal. And yes, I have a podcast, which I'm equally guilty of not being consistent on. So the point is, it's not about the thing. It's about our unique perspective and the meaning we give to things. Everything is relative. Life is relative. In fact, it's subjective. Even death is subjective, you know. There are religions that actually celebrate death with laughter because they think the person who is dead is relieved from the sufferings they're going through in life on earth. And there are many, many of us who mourn death and think that's the saddest thing that can happen to anyone. Everything is relative. So if we dwell in a little deeper on why this is relative or why is this subjective, how come there are no universal truths and everything that we think as truth is a lie for someone else, and every lie we consider as the biggest offense to have ever been on earth is a truth to someone else? That is because the emotions. You might have heard it, right? You're not your soul, you're not your body, you're not your name, you're not your anything, you're not anything that you own. But who are you? If you're not your mind, if you're not your body, if you're not your soul, who are you? People might say you are your consciousness, but I have a slightly different perspective to that. You are your emotions, right? I mean, that's all you are. Let's say if I'm happy, my entire body is happy. The vibe around me is happy. Everything is happy. I am happy. And pretty much when I'm sad, everything around me is sad. The air, the sky looks dark. The cloud is so saddy. And the emotion is depressing. But that's pretty much everything about life, right? We are happy. I am happy. I am sad. Satisfied. I'm depressed. Happy. Ambitious. Evolved. I mean, whatever objective you can add. But that's all you have in life. That's everything, right? That's just it. That's what exists right now. You live. And you live. That's all you do. And that's all you got, right? Now, we all have emotions. But there are a few classified ones, no? The one on the topmost curve of the positivity arc. That's what we strive for. When everyone else have it, we think they have some way. You know, their roadmap through which they get it. We ask people, how are you so satisfied? Yaar, come on, how can I be so satisfied? Well, if you're wondering there is a way that people get to those emotions or there is a proven path that people follow, they don't. There is no rule book for emotions. And if you ask me why, or if you ask me, isn't there a way to get there, I'll tell you why. We all have a standard of emotion. Because just like everything else, our emotions are subjective too. Trust me, let's say for example, if you go down the road to someone who has never been happy in a while, okay, and you go and tell them, or so let's say to someone who never shopped in a while, you go to them and you tell them, come on, let me take you to a mall. And you take them, you give them everything they want, you tell them to have a very good shopping spree. Oof, they are so happy than you have been in your entire life going up and down through those malls. Because for you, shopping is not something you're deprived of, right? But for them, the situation made them deprived of that little essence of their life that they think is magical for them. So, let's say the standard of emotions, the happiness you feel, it is not person-centric, but depends on who you are and what your life conditions are and what you consider as happiness. Now, let me tell you another thing. Now, it doesn't mean you have a different definition for emotion. I have a different definition for emotion. But it also depends on the stages a person is. So, I would say it is person-centric and then a stage-centric and then perspective-centric too. Remember, we talked about why something that you did in the past, you don't enjoy doing it anymore. Let's say in my case, it's about video games or the most classic PUBG. Right? PUBG was such a classic game that it almost took every home. At least one person in a home who plays that game. And I was super mad at it. I literally, every day if I do not win 3 to 4 trophies, that's a very annoying day for me. But right now, I don't even have that application in my mobile phone and I don't even play. Is it like it doesn't excite me anymore? Isn't the game better? Well, trust me, the game is actually way better right now. It's glitch-free, it's good, and it has way better plays than it originally had. But right now, if you see, I have outgrown that. So in this stage of my life, I'm not excited by it more. So I've evolved as a person, and right now it doesn't excite me. But still, there are a lot of people who does get excited by that. So now, let me ask you another question. The one that will make a very good point for you. What is God? Or, what is a thought process? Now, if you tell me, comparing to the game PUBG, which is person-centric, God is a concept all of us have, right? I mean, leaving a few who are atheists, everyone else believes in God. Though we have different names for God, God exists. And collectively for all of us, that means something. Why? Why do you think? Okay, now let us come a little more closer to this emotion, thought process and our concepts in general. Every thought in your mind, every emotion, every concept you believe in, it's what you lead yourself to believe in. You thought it's important and you think it matters. Trust me, something that a group of people believes in becomes a reality. I mean, I don't support cults, but think about it this way. Let's say if everyone in your home thinks that whatever's happening is for good, it's for a positive thought. Trust me, the whole environment in your home lifts up. But what if everyone in the home goes around saying it's a bad phase, it's not good, it's everything happening is the worst for us, it's a very bad time we are in. Knowingly or unknowingly, you and everyone else gets sucked down towards that hole of false positivity, negativity and this fake pessimism and everything that's drowning you towards that hellhole, right? So something that a group of people believes in, it becomes a reality. But trust me, in reality, it's nothing more than a shared belief system. And this is exactly why revolutions take a lot of time. Because you need to make people believe something. Because as human, we are not happy if you only believe in something. We need validation. Like if I believe in something and tomorrow if someone tells me, I don't believe in what you're saying, I'm immediately either offended or I think I need to do everything in my power to convince that person to make them believe in me. To make them have a shared belief. Because I need validation. Because I'm as much as a human being as all of you are. And that validation is a shared validation. And trust me, this is a magic. It isn't enough if only one person believes in you. First, I need one person to believe in me. And then we need two people to believe in us. And then 10, and then 100. And then I am in this way wherein I have an ideology that I expect the whole world to follow out of blue, you know? And then I need to make this only thing. Why does it happen? Oh my God, why? Because like I told you, every level of this human growth requires some profound belief system that actually exists. So on the day one, I am happy if only one person shares my belief system. And then by day 10, I'm not happy. I need more. Because the brain, the mind, it's lit by excitement. And when something becomes a reality, the fantasy that you had that this is a reality, it isn't fascinating anymore. That's why many people who fall heads over heels in love get married, and many times the love results in a divorce. If people ask you, why is there a higher divorce rate in love marriages than in arranged marriages? Let me tell you something. There is a very simple formula. Expectations versus disappointment. In a love marriage, you have way more expectation than you would ever have in an arranged marriage. So when a love marriage fails, even when you face minor discomforts, you feel a hell of a lot of a discomfort and a disappointment than you feel when you face 10 times more hardships in an arranged marriage. Because that's an arrangement you walk in without an expectation, right? At least lesser expectations, I should say. So, this is not just reflecting in one aspect of our life, but throughout. Anyone, let's say, who is not so ambitious is not so affected when their goals fail. But someone who is super ambitious, even if their goals fail by 10 or 20%, they cry. And that is why when people score 98 in their exams, they cry a lot than someone who has got 30 or 40. Right? Expectations versus disappointment. So this is how the mind's fantasy grows on. It needs more and more and more higher expectations and never it gets satisfied. And though for every one of us, every human being, satisfaction is our sole goal, even the most satisfied person has a next goal. And that is why we always think there's something more to it, something magical, some proven pathway to get there and something to get the work done. But sometimes there is no shortcut at all. Trust me, there isn't. Because everything in life is relative. And if I call something a successful, it might not be a success to you. And that is why every time when I think she is elder or she is bigger, I always see her as my little sister. And she always thinks me, even when I was younger, as she's my big sister. Well, relativity played its part, and today I leave you with this one thought. Since none of us have the same scale of measuring, and since the level of importance is totally different for each one of us, even though we have the same goals, why do you think we are still running for this validation, or we keep looking for more and more and more instead of just taking this moment to look around, look at the sky, see the birds passing by, see the trees shaking in the air, and actually think, this is a dream that I once had today, and I'm glad I have it right now. Show a little note of gratitude, because everything is relative and everything's still gonna change, but this moment is all you got. And right now, as I sit here in this terrace recording this podcast amidst a lot of crows calling me out, I leave you with this one thought. And until I meet you in the next episode, which I believe will definitely be within a very low time frame, signing off for now, Saranya Narayanamurthy.